Go back to work like a boss. Buy Blunstons for a chance to win 150K.
Anytime Fitness. Make healthy happen your way. Join today. Visit anytimefitness.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Just keep that going there, Coxie. Had a lot of good feedback on this
a
song.
A lot of good feedback.
I'm not joking. You know, I'm a music nuffy. I know nothing about it.
You know a bit. You
know, I know nothing.
Nattini, what's his name?
Palo Nattini.
Yeah, you love your Palo Nattini.
See, Coxie, a bit of Palo Nattini, please, when you get the chance.
Where's your feedback coming from?
My boys, who are big music buffs.
Yeah.
Ben,
they like it.
They loved it.
There you go.
Loved it. Just a nice. I wonder if we can get a bit of a longer version of this, Coxie. I did give. I put him on notice yesterday about this. Without the intro, perhaps. Even just the music. I don't know.
Thumbs up to Trentos.
Oh, we'll get that.
Trentos found that.
I know. The Teskey brothers. Juan Turner or Warren Dyke. One or the other. What? That's the same place, isn't it?
I think it's Warren Dyke.
Okay.
Maybe it's Juan Turner.
We're filling at the moment because Scooch—he's not answered his phone. Our man has not answered his phone. He knows he's doing an interview with us.
Well, while we're waiting for him,
let's flesh out Cam Smith.
Cam Smith stuff. Okay. Obviously, it's special consideration to somebody like a Cam Smith, a club legend that's been around for as long as he has. But how much more time do you give him?
Okay, let's put this in perspective. Punchy Paul Kent.
Hmm.
Our man.
Yeah, Punchy, yeah.
Who's on Fox and is up in Sydney. Mm. He calls a spade a shovel.
He does.
He's had a good crack at us, but then came on air and I think we got great mutual respect.
I thought he retreated, actually.
He was bagging Cam Smith, and I know they've got history, those two. But he was bagging him back in November for not having made a decision.
That's right.
For saying, how can you keep, you know, Melbourne Storm on the hook like this without having, because they've got to then make decisions on who replaces him and, you know, positionally. So you suspect that, I don't know anything, but I would suspect that Craig Bellamy knows exactly what's going on because he's got to get, Craig Bellamy would be saying, Cam, man, you're an immortal. You might be the greatest of all time, but I've got to coach a team.
That's so right. And you're one of the leaders and everybody takes a cue from you as a player and about commitment, all that sort of stuff. And there's no consideration given that he's never been committed, Cam Smith. But you would think that everybody says the same thing, that the critical part of a season is the off season when you prepare yourself for the upcoming season. And as you get older, you actually have to train and prepare yourself better than you've ever trained and prepared yourself before. So one would think that even if he hasn't decided whether he's going to play or not, Cam Smith is keeping himself in great shape.
Well, if he's playing.
No, but even if he's not playing, he has to keep himself in great shape. Well, because the season begins in 8 weeks' time, or 7 weeks' time, I think it might be now, 7.5 weeks' time.
If he's not playing, doesn't care about that.
Yeah, but that's my point, though. If he has to have thought about, okay, I've got to keep myself in great shape. Whether or not I'm going to play or not, I still have to be in great shape. I can't decide now in 2 weeks' time I'm going to play and then start training. That's not giving himself the best preparation.
But do you know how hard it is to do a preseason? Would you go and flog yourself?
No.
When you're not sure whether you're going to play or not?
You may not train at the same level as all the other players because you're doing your own stuff on the sidelines. But you can be, like, Sheeds gave special consideration to players at different times of their career to train away from the group because they've been around long.
I get that. So, but I would say this with some degree of confidence. There would not be a situation where a player in AFL footy / VFL footy has said to their coach, listen, I'll let you know if I'm playing 8 weeks out.
No, not in modern day
football. I don't care who you are.
Mm. We'll keep the door open for a while, but we're not going to keep it open up until 8 weeks.
Well, we've got the smarter sports audience on radio. You tell us, has there been a situation like this? Can you remember? There may be an isolated case that I can't think of, but
somebody who was
8 weeks
iffy
out
about playing. It wouldn't be in this modern era where you've got lists that have to be structured in a certain way.
No.
It must. And maybe there's been cases where we didn't even know about that players have actually been publicly, it's been stated that they had an injury, whereas privately they may have been second guessing even whether they wanted to continue playing. So there are things like that we would not have even known about.
Mm.
Hey, can I just also, there's been this rumour about a player out there that's been circulating and there's been a lot of people that have been asking the questions about that particular player related to him standing away from the game or in recent times, okay? Mm-hmm. It's Tom Scully, right? All mm-hmm. those stories that everybody's been circulating, that type of thing, have been investigated, and it's not true. Can we just put an end to that scurrilous stuff that just circulates?
Well, 100%. I don't give it any credence anyway, but if it's...
No, but it keeps rebounding. It comes off the text every morning.
Does it?
It did yesterday, again this morning, that type of thing.
Okay.
It's not true.
Fair enough.
Journalists, that's what they do. They investigate stories, and it has no foundation.
Right. Okay, Charlie Curnow, touch and go every... Yeah, but Charlie, that's not a good example, but appreciate you putting it in. Alex Rance, did he retire in the preseason?
He retired, but yes. He wasn't coming back.
He was intending to play. So there was... Like, he didn't say to them, look, back in September, I'm not sure if I'm going to play next year, boys. Mm. So I'll let you know in February. Simon O'Donnell, unbelievably, hasn't answered his phone.
Some cows might have got out in the bottom paddock. We will take, and all of a sudden, he's had to go and chase them.
Anyway, I think we've done better. Bryce McGain has joined us, who's also a big part of the... cricket coverage here on SEN. He's been good enough to take our call at short notice. G'day, Bryce.
G'day, Gary. G'day, Tim.
Hey, Bryce.
Yeah, mate. Don't feel like your second choice. Had I known you were available, I would have taken you over Simon O'Donnell every day of the week. what do we make of these announcements of the Test squad and the T20 squad? We've been debating Matthew Wade. Has he paid the price for being a good bloke and taking one for the team?
He probably has to some extent. And opening the batting, which really isn't his role, but he took it on and did it pretty bravely as well. Like he really stuck to his guns there, but really didn't kick on. And then he went back to his spotting down the order and really didn't fire as well. So it's been a little while before he's been able to nail down a 50, let alone 100. So I guess it was probably coming. But you know what? I think it really suits his game to play in T20. We saw the other night when he opened the batting for the Hobart Hurricanes, just what a damaging player he can be. So I think it probably suits his game a little bit more. And there is a World Cup coming up later in the year. So, you know, maybe it's a good opportunity for him to grab some form with this touring team to New Zealand with the longer view of the World Cup. And they're back-to-back World Cups in actual fact. There's another one in 2022. So it gives him a good opportunity to have a good run at T20 cricket as well for Australia.
What about Mark Steckety? Now, we were told Jai Richardson was the next in line. Well, not we were told. That was seen to be the consensus. The Australian quicks for the first time by the end of this series. Yeah, a few little questions were asked. Mitchell Starc, was he sore or not? Couldn't get the job done. Mark Steckety, where's he come from?
Well, Mark Steckety's been banging away for Queensland for a long time, and his form in the Sheffield Shield this year has been pretty exceptional. He really has been charging in on really flat wickets and getting the rewards as well. So he's been a performer for some time, probably a bit under the radar. He's not a song and dance man. He's just a get-the-job-done man. And we kind of like them playing for your state and playing for Australia as well. He's a ripping guy, and he's been doing it really well. So he deserves the opportunity. Big, tall, quick, who hits the wicket pretty hard and moves the ball as well. So we certainly need that. Maybe the little cross to Jai Richardson just at the moment in the test team is his throwing. His arm is still recovering. He had a shoulder operation. It's still recovering, and it's just limiting his ability to throw. You might notice that in the Big Bash from time to time. When the ball does get to him, the opposition do sneak a cheeky run to him, but every now and again he bowls it in or just throws it in pretty softly. So he's still working on that throwing arm, but look, he's not far away at all. But I think the T20 suits him as well. And can sort of hide that fielding a little bit better in the T20. Maybe you can hide one fielder away.
Hey, Bryce, we're talking to Bryce McGain. Bryce, Cricket Australia couldn't have been more complimentary of the leadership of Tim Payne yesterday and the statements they made. Do you think they needed to make those statements?
I think they needed to support him a bit. He's copped a bit of flack. A few have laid the boots in about his leadership and how he's gone about it. He had a stinker, really, and in Sydney. And I guess the show of good character and good leadership is someone who goes, you know what, I did. And he put Nathan Lyon to one side, heading into his 100th test match, the press conference, and in front of the press, and was very open about the fact that he didn't perform to his best, his standards. And that's absolutely the best way to do that. That's what you want your leaders to do, is to stand up when they've made blues like that. So, look, I was disappointed that, you know, he was missing chances and wasn't performing as well as we want the number one keeper to do, and also the captain of Australia. But once he stood up and showed his true character, I think he's done a wonderful job, and so he deserves that opportunity to continue captaining.
Just the Poms, mate, wasn't it? It was stupid Goff shooting his mouth off, and then that great leader Kevin Peterson weighed in, and Michael Vaughan, who's got more respect as a captain, but he also had a bit to say. Aren't they just stirring the pot, trying to get us offside for this Ashes series?
There's every chance, isn't there? They don't mind having a few barbs at Australia and seeing them unravel. But the good thing was it didn't fluster Tim. And look, he deserves to continue doing that. He had a great series with the bat. You know, he was the man of the match in Adelaide when everyone was battling around the pink ball. He got 70 and did really well. So, look, his performances maybe with the gloves have been a bit under par, but he'll tune those up and no doubt he'll bounce back with that. But no, I think he deserves to continue on. And I'm sure he'll be captaining in that Ashes series too back in Australia next summer.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Michael Clarke, former Test captain, has said that Darren Finch is in deep trouble. Now, on the surface, by the numbers, you can't deny it. I mean, his BBL form, 18-8-0, 14-13-0, 10-4-6, averaged just over 7. He did make a one-day 100 and a 60 and a 75. He's 34 years of age, Finchie. You got Phillippe, you got McDermott, you got Inglis all sitting in the wings ready to go. Is he right, Michael Clarke?
It's getting to some pressure time for Aaron Finch. There's no doubt about that. And he would be disappointed with his performances with the Renegades. And I think he's probably just felt the pressure of having a young squad who come in behind him. It's probably with the Renegades, it was Sean Marsh, Aaron Finch, and then it's the kids coming through. Given the injury to Riley Rousseau and a few of the others who weren't performing as well. So I think he just felt the pressure at the top of the order and really tried to, you know, try too hard rather than batting with freedom. When he bats with complete freedom, he's one of the best white ball openers in the world, if not the best. He's a terrific performer there. So I think in the Australian team where there's batting depth all the way down, you look at some of the lower order players like Daniel Sams, and that'll fill him with enormous confidence. And I think he'll go out and bat with some freedom and a really clear mind. And there's no questioning his captaincy in T20 cricket, guys. He's just a genius, pulls the right strings. He's been doing that for many years. So I think he's the right choice for now. But you don't want to make too many changes close to that World Cup. So he gets an opportunity in New Zealand to show his wares with a deeper batting lineup underneath him, and I think he'll shine through.
With Bryce McGain here from Australian Player. Now, this is a message that's come straight off the temper text. Just saw Simon O'Donnell hooking into a dozen pack of Krispy Kreme donuts in this 7-Eleven car park, and he was definitely screening calls, Wisp. Does that sound like the man to you?
It sounds like the man to me.
Hey, before we let you go, Brycey, Tanvir Sanger, a 19-year-old, 21 wickets. I reckon you'd like the cut of his jib.
You bet I do. Spins the ball both ways as a leggy, and he's been terrific. And what about ice cold? Like, he's just so relaxed and calm. You know, I don't know what I was a leg spinner at 19, but I certainly wasn't that calm. I was just hoping to hit the wicket at that stage. So he's just got it all, and his performances with the Australian under-19s has been great, and then he's backed it up in the Big Bash. Deserves his opportunity and credit to him as well, the young New South Wales spinner. So it'll be great to see how he goes against the international players.
Is he along? This is right in your wheelhouse, and I know he hasn't played for New South Wales yet, but is he a long-form leg-spinning prospect for maybe Australia?
Yeah, potentially, yes. He's a rookie squad member of New South Wales, so he's definitely in the mix there. Adam Zampa's in that group as well, but Adam Zampa, a bit like the articles written recently about Aaron Finch and Glenn Maxwell, they don't get the opportunity to play any Sheffield Shield cricket because they're playing white ball cricket for Australia. So the fixturing's really tough. They all want to play Test cricket, but they also want to play for Australia when they're called up. So these conflicting schedules don't allow some of these guys who are nearly pigeonholed into white ball cricket, but I'd like to see Adam Zampa play a bit more red ball cricket as well. So it's a bit of a shame. I think he's developed his game with more overspin on the ball. So, yeah, there's a few in New South Wales. There's also the GOAT when he's available. He just rolls up with the light blue cap on as well. So he's got a few ahead of him, maybe. But, yeah, there's a good opportunity for him in the future, no doubt.
We're the winners for Simon O'Donnell not picking up the phone, as is our vast audience. Thank you so much, Brycey. On short notice, it was great to talk to you.
No worries, Gary. Good on you, Tim.
Thanks,
you
Bryce.
Bryce McGain there. Lucid, smart, reliable, all the things that Big Scuba O'Donnell hasn't been this morning.
We might get him on McGain and again and McGain.
Whoa! Bang! Priya's here for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV.